This podcast is sponsored by Active Skin Repair, a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical-grade ingredients.
So, Brie, I remember this one time I was in a bike race around Tucson, and I wasn't paying attention. We were riding down 4th Avenue, and there's railroad tracks, like streetcar tracks, and my bike's tire like went and wedged in to the railroad tracks,
no!
And I totally fell down and just like skinned my hands, everything. Ugh. I had nothing with me, nothing at all. And it's that times where you want a first aid product and you have nothing. And Active Skin Repair utilizes a molecule called hypochlorous acid. When applied to the skin, the molecule works by mimicking the natural immune response to cleanse, soothe irritation, reduce inflammation, and support healing. I've used it on my son's mosquito bites, and I wish I would have had it the time I totally scraped up my hands.
Oh, I hear you. Like whenever I go paddleboarding, kayaking, I'm always trying to find something that is like an all-in-one that I can take with me. And Active Skin Repair could be used like that. It can be used to treat cuts, scrapes, burns, sunburns, rashes, and other types of skin damage. It's also safe and non-toxic, which makes it suitable for all skin types, all parts of the body, like eczema, and acne-prone skin, all of that.
With over 500,000 happy customers, thousands of five-star reviews, and ingredients so safe and clean they can be used from the youngest member of the family to the oldest, you now have one simple solution for all of your family's skin health needs. Visit www.activeskinrepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair and to get 20% off your order. Use code NOGUILT. Welcome to the No Guilt Mom podcast. I am your host, Joanne Crone, here for this Thursday quick win. Here at No Guilt Mom, we want to change you from feeling like the family martyr to being the role model, the model of how your kids should react, the model of how you should live a fulfilled adult life. Like, we want our kids looking at us and being like, yes, that is the life I want when I get older. And to do that, we have to really look at our own thoughts and our behaviors and looking at them critically and intentionally and making sure that we're doing things the way we want them done. This came up as a question in our goal setting session in Balance this past week about meal planning. So often, meal planning is mom's job. I don't know how it becomes mom's job, but it's typically mom's job when we really don't even like it or want it. It causes so much stress just thinking, like, if you haven't meal planned for the week, you're there on a Thursday afternoon and work has been hard, all of your decisions have been made, and now all of a sudden you're like, and what am I going to feed everyone for dinner? It's that problem that we just don't want. There is nothing wrong with chicken nuggets or macaroni and cheese. I am not going to say that those are bad meal choices. They are meal choices in our house frequently. But at the same time, we do want to provide a variety of foods for our family. We want to eat a variety of foods. I get sick of macaroni and cheese if I eat it too often. So there is a benefit in meal planning. And there's a benefit also of saving money in groceries and going out to eat. So it's tons of great stuff. But how do you do it in a way that is easy, is simple, and it doesn't require you learning all of these new recipes? I've done it the wrong way before. I totally have. I bought one of those meal plan cookbooks where every day was a new recipe and it gave you the shopping list. I was like, oh my gosh, a shopping list. Yay, I don't have to make that. So I give that to my husband, who does execute on the grocery shopping in our house. All the food comes into the house. I have a lot of energy Monday. But then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I'm like, I really don't want to spend an hour in the kitchen making this dinner when my brain is already fried. Have you had that experience before? I'm right there with you. So all this food ended up rotting in the fridge and I felt horrible because I made these plans and then I didn't follow through. If you're thinking that right now with your meal planning, if you do meal plan and that's what happens to you, it's not your fault. It's really trying to bite off more than we can chew at a time. Now, if we were dedicated to cooking, yeah, it would be great to be in the kitchen. If you're one of those people who loves cooking and that sounds like a dream come true, that is awesome. But for me, I have no more brain power left at the end of the day, and I need something really quick and really easy. Here's what we do in our house. The first thing we have is we have a meal planning board. And I do that board every Sunday around noon because my husband usually goes grocery shopping on Sundays in the evening. I write it right there in the kitchen. And my first question is, what does everyone want this week? Usually that is followed by, I don't know. I don't have no idea. Whatever. And then my son's like, hamburgers. And thank you, hamburgers on the meal plan, because that's really the easiest thing to cook. When nobody else gives me any other recommendations, I pull from my recipe arsenal. And what that is are simple recipes that I can make. It's okay if I make the same thing every week, especially if no one else is giving me ideas, because I personally like these food items. So everyone else needs to give me a little more input if they want their food items put on the menu board. I have some recipes I always go to. We make this it's not a grilled chicken. It's like a pan sauteed chicken and mac and cheese. I got that recipe from a phenomenal dietitian named Zach Cohen. You can find him on Instagram. I pay for his Patreon, which is $5 a month. And he has all these new recipes, usually a recipe or two a week. Easy stuff, really easy for families. And I do macro counting, so they're high protein recipes as well. It's a double win right there. So I have that mac and cheese and chicken recipe. We also do something called burrito bowls, which is just taking ground beef, sauteing it up, mixing it with taco seasoning, cooking some white rice, and then putting like cheese and lettuce, shredded lettuce already, so no cutting, and salsa on the table. We have packs of those steam fresh veggies in our freezer. And so I always pull out a pack of steam fresh veggies, put in the microwave. And that's an easy dinner as well. There's the chili meal, which is also easy. Like, I've made it so many times, I've committed that recipe to memory. And it's chopping one onion and then opening up a bunch of cans and letting it simmer on the stove for a little bit. There's tacos, which is just grilling up a protein and putting those tortillas out. And again, same ingredients as burrito bowls. Everybody makes their own taco with, of course, a package of steamable veggies. They're very simple meals. I have about four or five of them I can put on the menu board. Those weeks I'm feeling adventurous, I will try a new recipe out of a cookbook. Just one. I know that I do not have the brain power, nor do I want to make any more food later on in the week. That one recipe usually gets tried out on a Monday. But if I like it, it's then added to the recipe arsenal. It's a really easy way to meal plan without the overthinking that was involved. I mean, before I got the recipe cookbooks, I was doing Rachel Ray's magazine when she had the weekly meal ideas, but they were all of these kind of obscure ingredients that you only used a tablespoon of, and then you had a whole jar of sitting in your fridge. Do you know what I'm talking about there? Yeah. And that didn't work either. With meal planning, sometimes we get too in our heads about it. And so I wanted to share this with you to simplify the process, to give you some ideas on how, if you're in charge of meal planning in your home, how you could make it simpler, take less brain power, and really have it be a quick thing that you can prepare healthy meals. And if no one else in your house likes them, they need to give a little more input and cook a few more days a week. At least that's where I go now when people complain about what's for dinner. So I hope that you are well, that you are enjoying life. Remember, the best mom is a happy mom. Take care of you, and I'll talk to you later.
Hey there, I'm Debbie Reber, the founder of Tilt Parenting and the author of the book Differently Wired. The mission of Tilt is to change the way neurodivergence, whether that's having a learning disability, having ADHD, being gifted, autistic, or some combination of all of the above, is perceived and experienced so differently wired kids and the parents like us raising them can truly thrive. On the Tilt Parenting podcast, I get to talk with authors, therapists, educators, and parenting experts who are committed to this mission. I ask the questions my listeners are most curious about when it comes to supporting our kids. And in turn, my guests share strategies for challenges, out-of-the-box ideas for navigating school, best practices for therapies, tips for advocating, and so many thoughtful insights on what it really takes to help our kids grow up feeling seen and respected so they can create awesome lives for themselves. I know that raising a differently wired kid can feel overwhelming and isolating, but I promise you, you are not alone, and it can feel so much better. If you're on this parenting journey, come listen to Tilt Parenting. Together, we can shift this paradigm and show up for our exceptional kids with hope, possibility, and joy.